today's saint, Saint Teresa, is a fascinating figure, extraordinary woman in many ways. She was very bright, she had great zeal, she was well educated, she came from a good family. There was some question about her background a generation or two earlier, but she was well established and she was attractive. She had a charming personality, everybody was attracted to her. She lived in a fascinating period of history, in Spanish history, that's the Golden Age. So she's a contemporary of St. John of the Cross, of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and of the Age of Exploration. The Spanish were really on top of the world. They were exploring the world, they were conquering the world, they were gaining gold from the New World. They were here in the Philippines, they were everywhere. The Spanish were really, they were really the empire at the time. And so in that culture, everybody's mind was expanding, you know, thinking about big things, new things. And as the men in the Spanish culture were off fighting wars and conquering new worlds and gaining fame and fortune, the women were left behind largely. And there was a huge influx of women into the convents because that was one option that seemed at least acceptable, rather than marrying below your status or not marrying at all. At least in the convent, you could have a stable and respectable life. And Saint Teresa, she had, you know, lofty ideas of her own. You know the story of her as a young child. She ran off to be martyred because that was the fastest way to get to heaven. And also, you could get famous for being a martyr. And she had a fondness for adventure. She even at one point started to write her own kind of adventure novel, or maybe a romance novel. And she had lots of interests, both sacred and secular. So she had a big personality. And like most people, at least in her younger years, she considered the problems that she was encountering to be because of others. This is how we usually start out. We think that if there are problems, it's someone else's fault. It's the fault of the family, or when she was a Carmelite, it was the fault of the superiors, or of her fellow sisters, or of problems in the culture, in the church as well, because the Spanish hierarchy was sometimes quite oppressive to the women religious. But anyway, there were lots of reasons why she could find excuses to blame everyone else. As I say, we all do this. We tend to do this. It's human nature. We don't look at our own faults. We look at the faults of others because it's a lot easier and not very threatening to be critical of others. That comes up in today's readings. Paul talking about judging. But Teresa, because she was sincere and because God had a special plan for her, eventually came to realize that her problems were all in herself. And that's when she started to really do the great exploration, not of the new world, but of the inner world. And for this, she's known as an extraordinary expert, doctor of the church. She's an explorer of the inner world, the interior life. And she's a great guide for all of us who are nowhere near her at her level, but who can learn much from her. But anyway, one of the fundamental things to start with is I'm the problem here, that the problems that I'm complaining about start with me. Even psychologists know this, you know. The psychologists say the people whom we find most difficult to put up with are the ones in whom we see our own traits or our own weaknesses. So we have to start with ourselves, which means we have to be open to healthy criticism, to being corrected, to having our weaknesses and faults pointed out to us, which is a very unpleasant experience. Here in the Gospel, Jesus is pointing out to the Pharisees their own faults, things about which they did not think at all. They didn't think of themselves as being sinners or of having weaknesses, or being guilty, or being hypocrites. That was not in their minds at all. And so Jesus had to, out of love for them, point out their problem. They were busy pointing out everyone else's problems. St. Paul does something similar in the first reading. He's pointing out to the Romans and to us the danger of standing in judgment of others, because when we do that, we actually are accusing ourselves. We are as guilty as the other person. I remember years ago, someone told me I had bad breath. And I'm sure it was true, and maybe it still is. I remember part of the shock of it was I had no idea. How can anyone know that about himself? It's like people who snore. They don't know that they snore. I don't know if I snore. But this is, if someone doesn't help us see ourselves, we don't know ourselves. Well, for a while, I was very self-conscious about it, eating breath mints and brushing my teeth all the time. But maybe I should go back to that. But I really don't know. I really have no idea. I have to depend on others. And this is what the condition of the Pharisees. They didn't know that they were following these inverted priorities. They thought it was that they were doing the right thing, paying tithes on their garden herbs. They didn't realize, at least not fully consciously, that they were neglecting judgment and love for God. So Jesus had to point it out to them. Jesus points out to them they had a great, an excessive love of being greeted and of being given honor. It's a kind of love of human respect. Who doesn't have that? Who doesn't love to be honored, respected, given special favor? We all love that. But is our love for that kind of affirmation twisting our pursuit of the will of God? Is it getting in the way of our holiness? In the case of the Pharisees, it was, and they had to be told. Then Jesus gives them an even heavier accusation. You are like unseen graves. Unseen graves. That's the hypocrisy. They didn't look dead. It was unseen, but they were spiritually dead, and they had to be raised to new life by this correction. In this gospel, the lawyers, at least one of them, says that when you say that to the Pharisees, you are insulting us too. You see how immediately he takes it as an insult to be told the truth. It's not an insult. It's a gift to be told the truth. Truth in love. Truth for the sake of our salvation. And so Jesus, not insulting the lawyers, but helping them see themselves, says, well, what you do is you burden other people and don't do anything to help them. In other words, you do exactly the opposite of charity, of love of others. Yesterday's gospel concluded with that advice, you can give alms and behold, everything will be clean for you. Give alms, do for others what they need, not burden others with what you think they should do. So you see how the lawyers were doing exactly the opposite of what would actually help them or help anyone. So Jesus had to point that out to them. So in the spiritual life, we have to listen to the word of God, including words which we might at first consider insulting. They're not insulting. They're enlightening, correcting, purifying. In this first reading, St. Paul is, well, actually, we skipped over some of the even more critical things Paul says. At the end of chapter 1, we skipped over all his comments about how many different problems people fall into. But here, he especially focuses on the issue of judgment. The problem being, when we're judging others, we're not making an accurate judgment of ourselves. In fact, we don't even notice we're doing the same thing. And that means we end up bringing a punishment on ourselves, and it's our own fault. So he says, it's a warning. Then he reminds them that God is the judge, And God will judge everyone and repay everyone according to his works. What's the repayment according to our works? Eternal life, on one hand, eternal life, immortality, grace, glory, or on the other hand, wrath and fury to those who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. So these are the two options. Now, it might surprise us to find in Paul's letter to the Romans that we will be judged according to our works, because any good Protestant knows that salvation is not through works, it's through faith. And Paul is the clearest speaker about that truth, that we don't save ourselves by our works. So what does he mean here by saying God will repay us according to our works? He's not saying that our good things earn us heaven and our sins deny us heaven. The fact is, we are all sinners and none of us deserves heaven. That's the fundamental fact. So we are saved by grace. We are saved by faith. We're saved by God. That's why Jesus came, to take on the problem of sin and death and free us from it. But once that grace is offered to us, once this option is open to us, then we are responsible. And then we are going to be repaid according to our works, as Paul says here. We do bear a responsibility for ourselves and for others. Not that we win our own salvation, but we cooperate with the saving grace of God. Again, this is why it's so important to know ourselves, to have an honest understanding of ourselves, because as soon as we think we are doing very well and earning our way into heaven, we are blinded to our own faults and our need for God's mercy. And then we'll have to be insulted again. We'll have to be awakened again, because that kind of blindness is spiritually crippling. So we ask St. Teresa, this wise expert in the spiritual life, to help us make progress in this journey of the interior life. Much more important to see ourselves as God sees us and rely on the mercy of God than to see ourselves as other people see us and rely on our own achievements. The way of the interior life, which is invisible to many and mysterious, is not impossible, because God wants us to grow in holiness. He wants us to continue on this journey to reach our ultimate destination, which is perfection, glory. One of St. Teresa's books is The Way of Perfection. Not perfection like you don't make any mistakes, but perfection in to be the person God made us to be. So with hope, with great hope that progress will continue, and that we have all that we need in order to progress, that we really can overcome our ignorance, our weakness, our lack of self-knowledge, our desire for honors, and our misplaced priorities, that we can really overcome these things, we continue our pilgrimage of hope.